As I shared earlier, we're starting a new series out of the book of Ezekiel. And I will confess again, this is not a book I regularly read. It's a different book out of the Old Testament, a different prophet. And it was kind of contemporary with Isaiah and Jeremiah, if you look at those prophets there, as far as no time period in history. And some of the images we come here in Ezekiel or come to in Ezekiel may seem a bit odd to us, especially with our modern eyes and modern experiences. But I believe as a people of faith, it's important for us to take a look at these stories to see how people interacted with God and hear the hope that came out of these stories. So I invite you to hear these words in the book of Ezekiel. And we'll read verses out of chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and then I'll close with 28. But if you have time, I encourage you to read what's in between 14 and 28, as there's just more imagery, and you can kind of see a little more of how Ezekiel saw this revelation of God. So we'll start here at verse 1 of chapter 1 of Ezekiel. In the 30th year in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was a fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was on him there. As I looked, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the middle of the fire something like gleaming amber. In the middle of it was something like four living creatures. This was their appearance. They were of human form. Each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings on their four sides they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another, each of them moved straight ahead without turning as they moved. As for the appearance of their faces, the four had the face of a human being, the face of a lion on the right side and the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two other covered their bodies. Each moved straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. In the middle of the living creatures, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire. Like torches moving to and fro among the living creatures, the fire was bright, and the lightning issued from the fire. The living creatures darted to and fro like a flash of lightning. Like the bow in a cloud on a rainy day, such was the appearance of the splendor all around. This was the appearance of all the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of someone speaking. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I remember long ago when I was starting to watch movies and see, you know, all those special effects, I remember how awesome and amazing they were. And I think my first encounter with this, where it was so vivid and real to me, was watching the first Jurassic Park movie. I mean, those dinosaurs, they looked real. They had real sounds to them. It just moved in such a way. It had, you know, just a way about them that just brought me, you know, full of awe and wonder. And for a long time, that was one of my favorite movies, was to watch that and appreciate those special effects. But over time, you know, as we watch, you know, more movies and you see more special effects, some of that awe and that wonder just seemed to go away. And I think it was when I was watching, I think it was like the fifth Transformers movie maybe or so, and do not tell my nephews this, but the special effects just did nothing for me at all in that movie. I mean, I was watching it and I vividly recall thinking, you know, this just is not that interesting. I mean, here was Optimus Prime, you know, coming from a Kenworth truck, becoming Optimus Prime and all the ways they had done that. And I'm fully aware of all the creative energy, all the millions of dollars, all the computers and all the talent that goes into creating those special effects, but it just did nothing for me. Now we think about, you know, our lives and especially our faith. In some ways, this could be a metaphor for how we engage in our faith. We could have these moments where we're filled with awe and wonder. You know, some might say a mountaintop experience where you're feeling on top of the world and you're fired up for your faith. You're excited. You feel rejuvenated. It means something deep to you. Then as you go on through your days, you go on, you're trying to find ways to pay the bills, trying to manage your schedule, manage your kids' schedule, trying to work through projects at work or get harvest done or whatever the task may be. Some of that awe and that wonder for our faith just isn't there because the rest of our lives have taken center. They've become the focus of what we're doing. Now, those things in and of themselves are not bad. I mean, those are all things we have to do. I mean, we have to pay bills. We have to work. We have to go to school. We have to find ways to manage our schedules. I mean, that is a part of life. But as we go through that, though, we can feel like something is missing. We may not have that energy or that spark that we used to as we go through our lives. Now, we think about the story of Ezekiel here, and we got the beginning here, this kind of beginning, you know, vision that Ezekiel has. And I will admit, this is out of the world, you know, levels of creativity and vision recording right here. This, I mean, if I had stepped out my front door and told, you know, my neighbors what I saw there, they would start thinking I needed a little bit of, you know, prayer myself because of how outlandish this is. And I have spent time with other pastors when I was in seminary and school trying to figure out, you know, why such a, you know, fantastical images, you know, almost fantasy-like images, you know, present in this book. And there's moments that we will encounter the next couple of weeks as we go through Ezekiel, you know, encountering this imagery. And kind of the best thing I can think of is the setting and kind of the history of this time period of why this would be so out there. Now, you may have heard me talk before about, you know, the exile, the Babylonian exile. It's that time period in history in the Old Testament when the Israelites were taken from their home. They had been conquered by the Babylonians. We're talking about 600 BC, conquered by the Babylonians, and they were exiled into Babylon, or as the text records here, you know, the land of the Chaldeans. And this was common practice in the ancient world. When a foreign power would conquer a new land, they would take the people that were there and scatter them, exile them. And so that was so the people could not organize themselves and rise back up. Now, Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, it focuses a lot at the beginning of this exile. And really, some of the teachings there that Jeremiah gave, such as, you know, go and, you know, take wives for yourself, take husbands, you know, build up your family, go about your lives. That was at the beginning of the exile and giving much needed direction to the Israelites as they're in a foreign land, a different place. You know, their lives have been totally turned upside down. And Jeremiah, you know, is speaking, you know, the words of God to give them a much-needed direction. And I also mentioned earlier Isaiah is kind of contemporary with this. Isaiah, you know, covers a lot of the end of the exile when the Israelites were able to go back home. But in between, you know, Jeremiah and Isaiah, we have Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, he really dates, you know, when this is taking place here. You know, that very first verse there says, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river, you know, Chebar, the heavens were open, I saw visions of God. It was a little bit more precise. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzi. So it's really naming, you know, historically in this time period of when this was happening. This was happening 30 years into the exile. And by this point in the exile, the people were struggling. They had gone through famine. They had gone through hardship. They had experienced loss. And by this point, the Babylonians had conquered another people. And what the Babylonians did with this is they took those people they recently conquered and put them into the land of Israel, into Judah. So now at this point in the story that we're reading from and learning from here, this is the point where the Israelites are struggling that a different people are in their homes farming their lands. And here they are in this place where life is hard. They can't go back. And they don't know what to make of themselves. And then Ezekiel has this vision. Now I think about when I have been discouraged, when I have been down the dumps, when I have felt hopeless, that there is no way I can move forward. And even in my faith, where I feel disconnected, and being disconnected in faith was something the Israelites were struggling with as well in the exile, I believe for myself, for me to get kickstarted, I would need a vision about like this to bring me back, to reconnect me, to help me hear once again, you know, God at work in the world. And Ezekiel experienced that. He had this moment, and it called him into this new ministry to be a prophet. Now, as we go through our everyday and our grind, all that we have to do day in and day out, it can feel like we are worn, that we need to be refreshed, that once again we need to feel that presence of God in our lives. And I believe it's important, it is critical for us to be aware when we are experiencing and living through those moments. Most likely, it's a good sign we need to take a break, to refresh, to relax. But I also believe it's a moment where we need to be aware of our spiritual needs, be aware of where, you know, where we are struggling, that needing that refreshment, that restoration, that fresh start. But I also admit, though, there's moments when I know that I need that restart, I need that moment to be refreshed, and I feel guilty for needing to be refreshed. For some reason, I might be thinking that I have been unfaithful, gone off the path and needing to be restored or refreshed, but I don't believe that's the case now. Because when I see how God was working with the people, calling them to be recharged, to be renewed, to have this fresh vision of God in their lives, I don't see guilt. I don't see shame in those actions. Instead, I see God reaching out, reminding them, but also reminding us today that we matter, that we are important, that we need to be restored, not out of guilt or shame, but rather it's an act of faith, knowing that we need God in our lives, knowing that we need to be connected with our God. Now here for Ezekiel, it's the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of his ministry, beginning of his work as a prophet. And as we go through the next few weeks, looking at Ezekiel, you'll come across more quirks of Ezekiel. For example, Ezekiel is only told or addressed by name twice in the whole book. The rest of the time, God is speaking to him and saying, mortal. I mean, direct. That is almost a reminder for Ezekiel of where he stands in relation to God. And actually, in the reading today, if you go on one verse more, that's when we first start seeing the directive of mortal. And these reminders that exist throughout the whole book is calling for us to be restored, to be renewed, to be reconnected with our God, a reminder for us of how much we need God in our lives so we can be the people that God calls us to be. So we can live the life and follow Christ, I believe, for us especially, as God calls us to be. So if I could be so bold, though, at the beginning of this series, I would encourage you to take note this next week of where you need to be refreshed, where you need to feel that restoration, where you need to feel that fresh start. And I believe it's important for us to take note of this as we begin reading the book of Ezekiel together, because we cannot move forward, you know, and in faith, be forward and being restored if we don't know exactly where we need that place, where we need to be, where we need to be restored and refreshed. And this is not done out of guilt or shame or anything like that, but rather to have a direction for us to pray and to be open for God to be at work in our lives, to name those places where we need God at work, so we can experience that life, that new life that comes from our God. So brothers and sisters, I invite us in the coming weeks to be open, to be refreshed, to be restored by the love of our God, by the power of our God, by the grace of our God in our lives, so we can be the people who are grounded in that hope and in that grace. So let us begin this journey open to that transformative power of God and be open to it for all of our lives. Amen.